Hi, this is Ben.
And this is Sam.
We've got a podcast called Oz Rock Rated.
We take our favourite Australian bands' catalogues
and we rank them worst to best, according to us.
So if you're a fan of Oz Rock,
join us wherever you get your podcasts. Took a ride down that coast again to the place we know it always ends.
Common assessment task?
Yeah, that this was a song that I'm not sure why it didn't make the record, to be honest, because it was certainly recorded during those sessions. And
I have a theory.
Yeah.
Because in 2000, weren't Cats replaced with other things in VCE? Outcomes or Sax or whatever? Maybe wiser heads thought this is going to be a very dated reference in a year's time. That's my theory, because it's another great tune.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure why we didn't leave that on. Like, I'm not a great champion of my songs, so when it comes to choosing the album, I'm like, you know, quite happy if I really liked that song, and I probably wouldn't have gone to war over it. Would have been like, oh well, Because I think, how many songs are on that record? Is it 12?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty short.
Yeah, so I think a couple of songs had to bite the dust, and that was one that was recorded very well. I think it sounds good, and performances are all good, but it just didn't make the cut. I think, from memory, that was the song that was we were recording, because the Dave Williams actually came into the studio for that one, and he was sitting in the control room. It's not great when the head of the record company comes into the to the studio. It's really off-putting.
Yeah.
And we were recording that at the time, which I don't think was blowing his socks off, but he was sitting there on his laptop. They were really off-putting, and we actually asked Ted, who was doing the recording, to go in and ask Dave if he could please leave. And that didn't go down well at all, I can tell you. Dave Williams virtually was threatening to pull the money on the album at that point. So,
oh no,
yeah. So it didn't. He certainly put his nose out of joint. I think he had visions of, you know, spending a lot of time in the studio listening to the album being created, which we were really, really uncomfortable with. It's just doesn't. It just really affects your ability to relax and talk freely. Things like that, because the control room is sort of where you do yeah. that. Yeah, where you just talk about the songs, or you talk about, you know, anything else other than music as well. But, it was really awkward. So, but I think that was the song that we were trying to record at the time, Common Assessment Task, so. Oops.
What's the song about? Anything, any memory? Is it about facing up to old age or anything, or?
Can't remember.
No lyric. No worries.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and joining me, as usual, is co-host Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, John. Hello, amazing Fove fans, listeners.
That's it? Foves fans and listeners. Yeah.
I guess so. Normally I say wonderful, great, amazing, all these great things. It's just a great community to be in, where everyone's just sort of, as this ride that we've been going on, getting into now 1,000 Yards Dead B-sides, having heard, going back to, say, Lazy Highways and obviously Future Sparse, so many more people joining, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And just a shout out to, for an example, and I forget names, but just a few people from different countries. You got Tash, that was, for an example, Girlfriend for Life. Oh, from her side of the thing, being a girl in her teenage years when the song came out, that uniqueness about, you know, how what girls were thinking, or boyfriends, girlfriends were there 30 years ago as opposed to what they are now. So it's just, keep it up, guys. That's why I'm just putting that shout out again. I'm sure we're still all doing it. The audio files, people putting poetry about the lyrics of the songs, and I go, wow, like I just think simple, and I go, but I think in a great different way, and I'm loving hearing it. And it's about not so much the amount of listeners that we have, but whatever amount of listeners we have, whatever the number is, that everyone's engaging, everyone's enjoying our talks. As we all know, I am the regular co-host here. However, it's going to be something like average of 8 songs per album here onwards, as in going into Footage Missing and that moving forward, and no B-sides, an opportunity to hear other people talk, but also, like you and I, when we're chatting, I like to try and keep it around the 20-minute mark. If it goes longer, not an issue, just to allow time for other people to talk about that on the episode, like we've been doing, and it's very successful. So thank you once again, and hello and welcome.
Yeah, well, what song are we reviewing today, Michael?
One of my top favourites, Common Assessment Task, on the Celebrate the Failure single, which is, may I say, one of the only rare occasions where I love the single so much and all of the B-sides so much, all equally. So it's just like this amazing little 4-track EP.
Yep, this is track 2 on that single you've referred to, released in August 2000. And this Common Assessment Task, it is, and it features the soft and sexy Dr. Sound. The production on this track is amazing, Michael.
It really is. All of the B-sides on 1,000 Yard Stare singles, the production is just so top quality and amazing. Nothing recorded separately or, you know, quickly. Not that for the prior two albums, Lazy Highways and Future Spa, not that it made them any less bad quality. The songs, it's amazing and unique, their style, but this is just pristine and just awesome. Always the bass guitar, the drum sounding, how it's been recorded out and thought out, and any keyboards they whack on, their guitars in the background.
Yeah, it's a superb production. It could almost be on When Good Times Go Good, actually. Get Me Through the Night type. It's fantastic. It's the first track on Prefer Others, isn't it? Or the second track. It's really high up there on the compilation. So I think the band obviously value it quite highly too.
Hmm.
Where do you want to begin, Mike? Music or lyrics?
I'll get into the music. We started talking a little bit about that and...
It starts off straight away, Mike, like Atlas or Kaios, straight into it. And it's amazing, yeah.
So there's no intro, so it's just like the structure with verse, chorus, which is short chorus, verse, and then chorus extended, you know, and then the bridge, verse, and then the extended chorus until it finishes out. Simplistic structure, amazing.
Yeah. It's also unique too because it's got the acoustic lead line in the bridge, which is pretty brave to do a... Just an acoustic do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Really committing to that sparse sound, but it's really good. It's another song in the key of F, Michael. I don't know if you noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the guitar out. So like Brotherhood, Brotherhood Ben, like Get Into Retail. Because in many ways, this song, which I've always thought quite highly of, it's sort of like a mix between Dance Troupe and Get Into Retail. And I'll show you why in a second. So it's in F, the verse. Took a ride down that coast again. Just an F, yeah? So you've got F, familiar key of Doctor, and you've got the coastal reference, down that coast again. We'll get to lyrics in a second. And then open your eyes is again, B flat. Open your eyes, open your eyes. See?
Yeah.
Which that sort of reminds me of Retail. Heard it from a friend who was born again.
Again, yeah.
And then the pre-chorus is lovely major 7, I think. B flat major 7. Ooh, down to A minor. And then D minor 7.
Yeah.
Least we tried.
Least we tried.
Which is more Retail, reminds me of Retail a little bit. And then the verse, I think, again, brace yourself, hope it never comes. And it's maybe arpeggiated, I can't remember. And then the pre-chorus... the All Dressed in Black bit, or the bridge, whatever it's called, is sort of G minor 7. All Dressed in Black. Some sort of...
Yeah.
Added some weird change C. All Dressed in Black. And then it's got the really simple lead line on the A and... So it's in standard tuning, I think. The A and D strings, 5. And then... There's the other lead bit, which is just da 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 da, which is just the guitar, I think.
Yeah, and then the bass comes in to lead in, you know, do 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 do, and then into the verse again to get to the last verse and chorus. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
It's infectious.
It is, and with that happening, the simplistic drums and bass beat is just doing that simple stuff because all those clean guitar, core pricking, keyboard slightly in the background, and melodies on top of each other are doing so much.
Yeah, it's and it ends quite well, good on a nice little tone.
Like Coxie's sort of noodling around on the guitar, you know, and just the way they're striking on the chords. And it's just, as I was saying, it's that pristine, like... I just remember hearing, as I've probably said this many times during, more 1,000 Yard Stare B-sides, as a, like, fan, like, getting into them just before Future Spa, not really liking much that arty stuff, the few odd songs here, very completely different band. Hearing that progression, obviously, you've got your Future Spa album and Lazy Highways, the pop, getting into the record kind of deal thing. This sort of not so much, But just putting in that quality on the recordings for their B-sides and song structures and what they're doing and how they're spacing out the mixing, even if you don't listen to it on headphones, you can hear it very clearly. So to me, that was going like, wow, this album might not be big, but I just respect them as, you know, musicians. They're crafting their art. They're moving forward into the age and era of the 21st century or whatever, but just like moving on. And then, you know, as we talk about each album going on there, it might not be so much a huge leap in direction. I mean, there is here and there, but they could go back to these sorts of roots, but they just set the standards a lot higher. And then every 2 years after, another album's coming out and there's just something great and unique. But they are really good musicians now, like, not that they weren't before, but really, really tight and really good recording production.
So I remember in the early 2000s, you could get some of the B-sides on the website. I think the website came online 2003-ish and Coxie put some of the B-sides on there because it was before Prefer Others, and I think I downloaded it at the time. I think I always preferred Get Into Retail. I thought that was the superior song. But listening to it again, I'm really impressed by it. Like, it's really risen in my estimation. It's a really good song. I think slightly Get Into Retail's just got it over it a little bit. Because Get Into Retail sounds a little bit funny, the lyrics, whereas this one's a bit more earnest, I think, and a bit serious. Do you want to go on to lyrics, Michael? Or
yeah, just before we get on to that, having you said that, yeah, like, I just like Retail in general, just a better, well-written song. It's just the choice of the flavour, the whole big package, the melody and everything. And, well, you know, we'll just discuss it in the Dirt Bike Option episode about my thoughts between all sort of three and how that fits in. But just before we get on to the lyrics, just want to say a few things that I like about songs. Like, there's no intro, just gets right into it and singing into it. And through a repetition of open your eyes, just drawing that listener in, it's very, you get those good visuals and imagery, and he's picked the right key. Like, you talk about how he's in F again for his voice, and he's got that soothing singing in it, and it's enabling him to tell that story, expressing what he's wanting to say, because everything's, it's a slow pace, so you can hear the lyrics, nothing's hidden, the production's done it well. And I mean, all you people that are not musicians and don't go in the studio, you know, you guys think it's so easy, but it's like, for an example, I'm getting something mixed and then the guy's going, oh, the guitar's in that similar frequency to your vocals, or this and that in the background and in the percussion, I need to do this, so you can hear it. And those things, you can hear that in that production comes through clearly, because you can hear the every dictation and every lyric. In the lyrics, it's just simplistic. It's to the point, a breakup, when you think things will last forever, but everything changes, tougher than it was. It's taking a chance. Like, you always got to take a chance to get into a relationship, and people say, especially long-term relationships, de facto marriage, whatever, if you've made that choice, you don't just sort of get out, you stick with it. When you're in your younger relationships, it's about the attraction, the sex and stuff like that. But sometimes it can be the, you know, the imagery of let's get into each other's pants, you know, always getting into each other's pants, the forbidden fruit. So I feel, as I mentioned, the imagery, that's just a big overall chunk of the lyrics, but I'm happy to go through each verse and the choruses with you to discuss them.
Yeah, so took a ride down that coast again to the place we know it always ends. So maybe this couple, they constantly breaking up all the time. And
yeah,
they do it down the beach. Some friends of mine were talking the other day, some things get wild, most things stay the same. So you have some flare-ups in your relationship, but maybe this relationship is usually pretty stable. Blah, blah, blah. We took a chance. You always take a chance. There's always a risk when you take off each other's pants.
Always whispering.
Whispering.
Always whispering. Yeah.
Is it On the Couch or Extra Virgin where he talks about another lover's pants or something? Oh, Sorry, Michael, I gave you a bit of homework, but I realised you didn't do it, I don't think. But do you have a guess? Yeah, you don't care. But yeah, listeners, Doctor talks about pants quite a lot. Do you want to have a guess? It's less than 10. How many other songs has the word pants in it, Michael?
The only thing I can think of is Coxie's Greek aesthetic, you know, get your pants on. That's like putting it on, not taking them off. So it doesn't really work, but that's all I could. Even if I did, you did mention that. And then I thought, well, I mean, I could put time into it and look through them all. But on the top of my head, cannot think of one. Only that Coxie Greek aesthetic, but put the pants back on. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, you are right. Coxie has most of them. But Doctor, frontman practice, pants man, is he talking about Ron Wood or someone, or Mick Jagger? Extra virgin, you think of that time getting your pants off with some girl. On the couch, got a fuck off glance back on my pants. Tying one on, I want my pants ripped off by someone wild.
Yeah, that's Coxie.
Yep. Yeah, they're mostly all Coxie, actually. Give up your day job, looking fancy in the pants, you can give up your day job.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos and Dance mentions pants man. And True Love Waits, take your hands out of my pants.
Oh, yeah.
So the band's quite obsessed. Well, Coxie's quite obsessed.
Mm.
I suppose we have to talk about the title, Michael. So I don't know what it was called in Canberra and the ACT, but you know CATS, the Common Assessment Tasks? I think they're now called SACs in Victoria for Year 12s. But you had to do 3 CATS for each subject before 98 or whatever it was. So it's a HSC word. I don't know what you did back in the mid-90s. Do you remember what it was called in ACT? You had to submit like 3 projects or whatever, or assessments per... I don't know what the title has to do with the song, do you? Common Assessment Task.
No. And that, I can't even remember that. To be honest, like as soon as... I'll be very honest. Maybe I'll be up front with all the listeners. Who cares? When it came to like, you know, I was, you know, going to Catholic school up to year 10 and then, you know, public, all different, great, 11 and 12. Most of the time I was really stoned and just getting you through it to pass, not interested in any, so I don't know about all the assessments or what the names were and can't even remember. I think somebody let off a Big Bang firecracker thing when we were in the hall and my mate's sister, it bursted, it stuffed up her ears or hearing or eardrum or whatever because it was right near here at the back. So I'm like, so crazy stuff happens, you know. There you go, but no, I can't remember all of those names and Victoria and ACT and whatever, and all that stuff's different. But anyway, Common Assessment Task, have no idea why it's called that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the name of the CAT. They used to, the abbreviation was CAT, C-A-T.
Oh.
Yeah, CAT.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't understand why that song's called that.
Nor do I. So if anyone knows, write in. Obviously, Doctor later went on to be a teacher, but primary school level, not where you have these big... assessments.
And he got out of that. He's finished up, isn't he, with teaching?
Yeah. He's still in the education field, I think.
Oh, is he? Yeah. But it's interesting to hear that. I remember, you know, he's gone through it and then I went through it. And then when I was finishing off my degree, I had to do all that stuff when you're applying for jobs. And he's going, you haven't even mentioned this. And he's looking at my stuff, you know, my notes. It was really good backstage, I remember once. And now I'm like him. I'm getting out of it. It's very loose part-time and moving on to bigger and better things. So it's a great thing to do. It's musicians, whoever, be a teacher for a while, earn some money, do some casual work, have fun with the kids, sing some songs in front of the kids. Can you play the Good Morning Song, Michael? Yeah. Oh, you remember it. Yeah, sure. Settle them down, calm them down. Anyway, I don't know if you got anything more about this song. I don't have much more.
No. I just wrote that obviously there's a picture I always keep of you, which obviously I think of photo albums. And when it gets to that second bit, the second line, looking out, just taking in the view, I think we can hear a female on backing vocals. So I think that might be Rebecca Barnard from Rebecca's Empire. Sure. I'm pretty sure it's a female backing vocal for that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone can isolate that and get it out. But Rebecca was a childhood friend of Ted's from Rebecca's Empire, and she was on a few songs from Footage Missing. Yeah, that's all I had to say about the lyrics. It's a really nice song, but it's not quite Get Into Retail, but it's still really sophisticated and classic pop song, you know?
It is. It's I love it. I love the song so much, but it's not like when I ramble on say about Retail and go, oh, this is the best song in the world. So it's just not quite up there for me, but it's really good, and it makes that whole CD single of Celebrate the Failure mint, just perfect. Top quality, well-written, good songs on that whole CD. It was a pleasure to buy, and it was a good surprise. You know, you never know what you're going to get on the B-sides and new Fove songs, and just to be welcome in to go, wow, now I'm living in Melbourne, they're going to perform regular. I just knew this album so well. We, Coxie and I, were even talking about how, yeah, we're kind of rolling our eyes, getting a bit sick of it because we're hearing them so much. Now we want to hear some different songs. So I've really experienced it. I don't feel like I need a 25th anniversary version of Thousand Yards there for me, because I've just experienced it enough, and I don't see it as a big album. I see it as like 2 years later there was a new album, and I just see them all mixed, and all my 8 or 9 favourite songs out of that album and B-sides, a big mishmash, whereas say Beginning to End, Future Spar and Lazy Highways and Nervous Flashlights and German Engines, go to town, please do an anniversary and go from beginning to end with all the B-sides. So I know we're all got different flavours and tastes to the music. That's what it's all about, I guess.
And Michael, you don't care that this song Common Assessment Task begins with C and follows Celebrate the Failure on a disc? That doesn't annoy you a little bit?
Never even noticed it. Never came across my mind. Not for any songs on any albums of those things. It's just a thing you have.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Michael, where we review every songs by the legendary band The Speaking of Doctor, he only has 2 songs on the album, but as you mentioned, they are fucking awesome. Medium Pacer and Dance Troupe. Do you think it was just the standard Doctor's, you know, he never has the songs, as he says, or he was, I suppose Harper was just 2 or 3 at that time and he had other things going on? Any reason why he didn't
have as I said earlier, I think he had lots of really good songs that just didn't get, I mean, I don't know, maybe a couple of them we did.
Are you too hard on him?
He's too hard on his own material. He doesn't put his stuff forward. Like, as I said, Get Me the Retail deserved to be on a record somewhere, and that was written for that record. I think it was just purely because I had more of those keyboardy style songs, and that was sort of where we wanted to head sonically. So we perhaps felt that just for the stylistically, that's where we were going to go. And so some of those songs of his missed out, unfortunately. Like Common Assessment Task, I think, is another really great song that we recorded for that record that, you know, could easily have been on the record. So, no, he's pretty hard done by on that record. But, I mean, it's not something he would – he's just so – yeah, like he's very – it's not like he'd be thinking back bitterly to how he was shafted. That's just not how he works. like, yeah, he's – you know, he's the ultimate team player, I suppose.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Why do you think that happened? Like, why do you think people thought that you weren't being serious?
Because of the chords I was using, and Claire and I, in many ways, diverged from our contemporaries in alternative rock really early on in the mid-80s. Didn't really like distorted guitars or distortion or angst. And that was pretty much what rock music was. Increasingly, as I got to be using different kinds of chords to use them as emotional kinds of things, I used a lot of major seventh chords, which people found cheesy because it's chords used by Paul McCartney or Barry White. People thought it was just not serious. Minor chord serious music is sad and full of angst, and we didn't have any of that.
I learned the chord from a Brisbane-born musician called Peter Milton Walsh from The Apartments, and he showed it to me in London, and it kind of unlocked a different kind of sounding chord to me, and it appealed to me because it sounded annoying because everybody reacted badly to it. They said,
unfinished.
Yeah, don't do that. It's cheesy.
It was more that it was cheesy, just like the vibraphone. Yeah, we had real problems around it.
It's used in lots of Barry White songs and, you know, soul songs, and Paul McCartney uses it.
Yeah.
He calls it the bittersweet chord. And but yeah, Peter Milton Walsh used it, and so I took it and ran with it. But yeah, I am associated with it in a way, but I've gotten more into the kind of flat fives over the last decade or so. But equally annoying because they're kind of unresolved chords.
Yes.
They have a great they're great for the vocals to find new ways through, and they're unsettling, and because minor chords are boring, and so are major. But I am jealous. I'm jealous of people who can just do major chord songs.
Oh, it's too hard. It's very difficult.
Wow. That was the first time I'd ever been told to change my sound at all. So that really bummed me out, actually. We got in a big fight about it, and he was like, "We're going to pull your marketing if you don't put in a chorus." And I was like, "Ah, fuck."
Jesus.
So there was a long time there I couldn't play it. I just couldn't play it. But we do it now. We do it. I just get the crowd to sing it, usually.
Yeah. Well, it was a single, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a funny song.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying that guy was a bit correct as well. Like, it was a single.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
Did you have any other label pressure over the years? Because I imagine, like, it could go either way, where they could just leave you alone because you were succeeding, but also go, "Oh, they're a big band, we better pay attention, push them through to Matchbox 20 level."
Yeah. Well, I think Michael from Imago, who originally signed us, Michael Parisi,
yeah,
he just let us do whatever. And then he left to go to Mushroom, I think, and that was when the other guy came in. But, I mean, aside from that one instance, we'd never had anyone tell us what to do. And if anything, we've kind of really enjoyed working in more of a grassroots way, where we just release our own records, we make our own videos, we do our own posters, we make our own T-shirts, we do everything. We're kind of a bit control freaky about our record. And if we work independently, you can kind of, because it's ours and we own it, even if we sell a lot less records, we still have a lot more fun working that way.
Yeah, and you own it as well.
We own it, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Okay, that's it. Thousand Yard Stare comes out on October the 2nd, and to celebrate, we'll be having a small function round at our place for us and 750 of our closest media friends. Diane's going to be doing her canapes and those vol-au-vent things she always puts on. If you could bring that salmon dip you bought last time, that'd be fantastic. You know the one where you hollowed out the pasta dura loaf and filled the cavity with that fishy, cream, cheesy dip stuff, and then arranged the hollow bread around the outside for dipping implements. I'll be doing my famous baked avocado and pineapple pilaf, and Terry will be performing nude the nativity play with a KFC refresher towel and 5 cartons of B&H special filter. I must hurry away, as I need to make love within 1 hour of any spoken word performance. Good evening to you.